Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Hope you are doing well. Hello, son. That caused a mess before everything. But the Lord loves you. He loves you too. All right. good morning, everyone. It's good to be with you here this morning. You just finished our sermon series on Amos. And hopefully that time was an encouraging yet challenging time for us to consider what it looks like to live in light of God's justice and His goodness. For the next 3 weeks, we're starting this new sermon series called Pause. We want really these next 3 weeks to give us a moment to rest and realign ourselves to the Lord. Many of you know, especially here in the U.S., we get used to the summer being for rest, right? We have growing up in school, you get a couple months off in the summer. And I think a lot of times that translates over to summer really feeling like it should be a time where we can rest a little bit and relax a little bit, enjoy ourselves a little bit in the middle of the year. Yet, I know for some of us, this summer has not necessarily been a restful summer. There's been a lot of stuff going on. In fact, this summer, while you might have been expecting to rest, you might actually feel more tired, perhaps, or even just as tired as you began. And for many of us, there's a lot of things still going on, a lot of loose ends to wrap up. And so before we head into the continued frenzy of the fall, we wanted to take this time to have our church pause, rest, and realign ourselves to the Lord, even as the summer comes down to an end. And so we're going to have these three messages for this sermon series. Today from me, next week from P. Josh, and then the following week we'll be hearing from Pastor Pete. We'll be looking at the Psalms to help us to pause, rest, and realign. And so today's message comes from Psalm 34, and it's titled Resting in the Midst of Affliction. Resting in the Midst of Affliction. And as we continue on in this message, the one thing that I want to encourage you with is to rest in our Rescuer. To rest in our Rescuer. Like I said, we're going to be looking at Psalm 34. This is what it says in the ESV from 1 to verse 22. It says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him have no lack. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is there who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous and his ears toward their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all of his bones. Not one of them is broken. Affliction will slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. Amen. So, word of the Lord, let me pray for us as we continue on in today's word. Father, we come to you today, Lord, we ask that you would prepare our hearts to receive your word. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would take this word and drive it deep into our hearts, that it would go through the surface level spirituality that might be there, but Lord, that you would drive it deep into our hearts, Lord, that you would help us to live this out, to clutch this, and to step out in faith. And we pray that you would restore and renew us even as we hear your word in faith. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would activate it in our lives. And so we thank you for being with us here today. We thank you for your fresh word that is available to us daily. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As we go into this passage for today, some of you may know the context of Psalm 34. We see in the header that David writes this about a time in his life when he was facing many difficulties. For those of you who may know from 1 Samuel, David was running away from King Saul. He was the previous and the first king of Israel. Right? King Saul was his main op. And King David was in such a bad position that King David had to run away from King Saul into enemy territory. And so in order to evade one enemy, he had to run to another enemy. And in the presence of that enemy, in the kingdom of Gath, he knew his life was at risk. And so this was the story, if you remember, where David is in this enemy kingdom. And he has to pretend like he's crazy in order for him to not get taken out by the enemy. It reminds me, I don't know if y'all ever seen that Fresh Prince episode where Will is teaching Carlton to look a little crazy so no one will mess with him. That's exactly what's happening, right? King David is there and he's like, I'm okay, you know. And so King Gath is like, why would you even bring these people into my court? And so he's writing from a time where he feels overwhelmed and pressed on every side. He's writing from a time where he's facing difficulty after difficulty and in the midst of many troubles and afflictions. And the challenge for us today, the question for us is, how do we find rest? How do we find rest when there's many afflictions and troubles and difficulties that we face in our life? Right? How will we find rest when we feel overwhelmed and stressed? When on every side we feel pressed? What will we do? And as we mentioned before, from this passage, we're going to see that we must rest in the rescuer. How do we do that? In this passage, we see the main thing that we need to do is to seek the Lord. And it breaks it down for us in two ways, two reasons why we should seek the Lord. The first reason why we should seek the Lord is to seek the Lord because He hears. Seek the Lord because He hears. In verse 4 and 6, David reiterates and highlights that when he seeks out the Lord heard him and answered him. Thank you, child. Thank you. We hear you. I see you. I think this makes sense to us, right? Many of us know it would be pointless to cry out to somebody who doesn't hear us. Right? If you were to, no matter how genuine your ask for help, no matter how difficult a situation you're in, if you cry out and there's nobody there to hear you, or if the person there cannot hear you, then it's pointless. But here in this passage, we're assured that the Lord hears those who cry out to Him. And here, I want us to be mindful, right? David doesn't say just God generically hears me, but he says the Lord. He says Yahweh, the one true God, Yahweh, the God of Israel, that Yahweh hears you. And here there's an implied message that the other gods can't hear you. The other idols that you serve can't hear you. Whether it's the fake idols and fake gods of the kingdoms around them, whether it's, for many of us, maybe in our current day, people who try to cry out to the universe, right? The sad reality is that the universe cannot hear you. These fake gods cannot hear you. But he's highlighting that the Lord, Yahweh, can hear you. I don't know if you know this, but I just found out recently, elephants have really good hearing. In fact, they can hear the rumblings of other elephants for more than like 2-3 miles away. Right? Imagine you could hear something 3 miles away and know that it's a fellow elephant. And their hearing is so good that even from a mile away, right, they can differentiate and recognize different voices. Right? It's kind of weird, right? You see them big elephants. Now it makes sense why their ears are so big, right? They can hear and distinguish voices from even a mile away. And here, what the passage is reminding us, like, man, but more significant than the hearing of elephants is that the God of the universe can hear you. Right? Despite how far away He may seem from you, the challenge is that God can hear us. And this morning I want to challenge us, you know, do we believe that when we pray and when we cry out to God, that He hears us? I know for many of us, the audible silence may make it feel as if God doesn't hear our prayers. I would have to guess, even for myself, we've been in those moments where you're asking yourself, am I just speaking into the air? Am I just saying things that no one's picking up? I know the past couple weeks, especially in the US, right, we've been all interested about aliens and things like that, right? We're like, we're sending out all these messages into space. Is anyone hearing them, right? And some of us are like, yeah, you heard about the UFOs. Like, someone's out there hearing it. But I think some of us have more faith that aliens out there are hearing us than the God of the universe can hear you. And I think that's a challenge for us. When we come to pray, do we really believe that God hears us? Or are we just putting ourselves through some sort of mental exercise to calm our minds? And here the passage challenges, encourages us to say, I cried out to the Lord, and He heard me. And He answered me. That's the first reason we have to cry out to the Lord. Right? We seek the Lord because He hears us. As we continue, we see we don't only seek the Lord because He hears us, but we also seek the Lord because He delivers. Again, in verse 4 and verse 6, we see that not only does the Lord hear David, but that the Lord also then saves and delivers David. Again, you know, it would be pointless if you did cry out and someone did hear you, but if they would be powerless to help, right? Imagine if you're watching the newest Marvel movie and the superhero finds himself in trouble fighting against all of these enemies, and finally he's able to get his communicator to work and he cries out to the base, help, I need backup. And the only person who hears him is the 75-year-old janitor who is cleaning up at the headquarters, right? It'll be useless. It doesn't matter if someone can hear you if they can't do anything. But here, we're encouraged, not only does Yahweh hear you when no other gods can hear you, but Yahweh also is able to deliver. He's able to save us from our fears in verse 4, from our troubles in verse 6 and 17, from our enemies in verse 7, and from our afflictions in verse 19. We see again and again, God is able to save and deliver. Now here, I think there's a challenge. Because of course, first we have to believe, do we believe God can deliver? Do we believe God is strong enough to deliver? I think for many of us, we probably believe that if there really is a God, He probably is strong enough to save us. But I think what many of us might struggle more with is when we ask God to save us, when we cry out for help, do we actually trust Him to deliver us? Do we trust that He will see us in our difficulty and deliver us? Right? I think for many of us, it's not maybe the strength of God that we have doubts about. But perhaps we have doubts about the goodness of God, about the love of God, about the care of God. And here I want to challenge us with a couple of considerations. You know, first is that when we cry out to God, are we asking for help and are we trusting in Him? Or do we just want someone who's strong enough to do what we cannot do for ourselves? Sometimes I think, at least for myself, I pray and I cry out, and really, instead of what I'm asking, instead of asking for God to help in His infinite wisdom and His infinite power, what I'm asking for is just for Him to do what I want Him to do. Right? This happens in our house all the time. Caleb just yells at me because he just wants me to do what he wants me to do. Right? He doesn't trust that his dad has enough wisdom to know when to give him food and when to change his diaper and things like that. Right? He just wants me to do what he wants me to do. And I think there's a challenge for us. Do we actually surrender and trust that God is big enough and wise enough and good enough that perhaps He knows better what to do to save and deliver us? Or do we really, at the end of the day, just believe that things have to go my way? God, I need you to save me like this. And I think there's a challenge for us. Do we actually trust God to be wise and to be good? And secondly, not only do we trust Him to save us, but do we really, really believe that He delivers us? You know, I think many of us may be in situations where you've asked for help, perhaps even genuinely, you've cried out because you've reached the end of the rope, and you're just asking God for help, and it feels like God is not responding. But here, I want to challenge you with something. It's easy, and I think many people do this, it's easy to jump to the conclusion, because God did not help me exactly when I asked in the way that I asked, He must not actually want to deliver me or be able to deliver me. But I want to challenge you. I think the Bible does not talk about God's deliverance in that way. Right? Many times God does deliver in the moment, right? In the midst of battle, maybe in the midst of suffering. God may deliver immediately. But we also see that God may have His own purpose for delaying His deliverance. Right? Consider the story of Job, right? One of the main points of Job is that there may be a purpose for your suffering. There may be a purpose for your situation that you may not be aware of. And you may not be in that situation out of your sin. You may not be in that situation because it's your fault. But in the wisdom and in the goodness of God, there may be a reason why your suffering is delayed. Or why your deliverance is delayed. We see that also in the story of Joseph. Right? In the story of Joseph, it seems time after time, he just gets done over. Right? He gets sold into slavery. Then he gets put into prison. Year after year, decade after decade, it seems as if there is no deliverance. But we see, what do we see at the end of his story? He says, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. That even the reason that there was a delayed deliverance was so that through my situation, many would be saved. That many would have life. And ultimately, we see that in Jesus, right? That He is not spared. He's not delivered from the cross. But instead, God lets Him go through that suffering so that through that, there's more deliverance for others. And that God does deliver Him eventually out of the grave. And so there's a challenge. I want to encourage you, those of us who might feel like, man, I don't know, I'm so close to giving up on God because I feel like He just doesn't hear me. Or He doesn't care about me. Or He's not going to deliver me. And I want to challenge us to say, do we really trust in the Lord? That He may have purposes for His delayed deliverance. Or that perhaps His deliverance may look different from what you desire. And here, we are assured that Yahweh does hear and He does deliver. That there's a purpose for all the things that are going on. Now, what's challenging for us is that David seems so confident. He says, God delivers. So when we cry out to the Lord, right, when we genuinely cry out to the Lord, asking for His help, right, not calling out to Him like a genie, but really even as we call out to Him and cry out to Him, he has this confidence that the Lord hears and delivers. And what's challenging is as we get to the end of the passage, what we see is that the Lord hears and delivers the righteous. And this is a dilemma that comes up then. Because as we continue in the psalm, we see that the good news here, that the Lord hears and that the Lord delivers, is that news here is for the righteous. Consider what David says near the end of the psalm. In verse 15, he says, the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous and His ears toward their cry. Again, there's that assurance. Right? The Lord sees and He hears you in the midst of the affliction. He sees the affliction of the righteous. He hears their cry. Right? Even before that, it says that the Lord is near the brokenhearted. But then in verse 16, it says, the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. And then in contrast again, in verse 17, where it says, the righteous cry for help. The Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. Right, do we see this contrast where for the righteous, the Lord hears them and delivers them. And for the wicked, the Lord turns His face away from them. That He is against them. Again, the contrast comes out in verse 19 and 21. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. And in contrast to that, we see that affliction will slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. This is the challenge here, right? It's like this, there is a real promise, there is a real hope That for the righteous, when we cry out in the midst of our situation, when life is overwhelming, when enemies seem too many, right? That there is a God who hears and delivers. But this God hears and delivers the righteous here. And the wicked, his face is set against them. And he says the afflictions will slay them. And I think this brings a dilemma, because many of us, I believe, right, we think about, man, am I on the righteous side or am I on the wicked side? Right? Even in the middle of the passage, David talks about how important it is to fear the Lord, to live rightly in light of God. Right? When he's talking about fearing the Lord, he's talking about trusting the Lord as you are in awe of how fearsome he is. Like, do we live like that? Do we speak like that? Do we make decisions like that? Do we live in the fear of the Lord? Because that's what the righteous do. The righteous live in the fear of the Lord. They live in their trusting in the Lord. They live in the awe of the Lord. They live acknowledging how fearsome and good and powerful God is. Whereas the wicked, they speak with lies and deceit. And if we're honest with ourselves, like, we speak things that we should not speak all the time. We text things that we should not text all the time. We send voice messages. If people could listen to all of your voice messages and read all of your texts, right, would they determine that you are righteous or that you are wicked? Right? If people look through your internet history, would they think that you are righteous or that you are wicked? If people could know your deepest thoughts, would they think that you are righteous or that you are wicked? And here, that's the challenge, the dilemma, is that for many of us, those of us who are aware, who are introspective, we realize we are not on the side of the righteous, at least not in our own selves. That's why we need this encouragement, and we need to first remember that we need to root our righteousness in Jesus alone. That we must root our righteousness in Jesus alone. In Romans chapter 3, Paul tells us that there are two different kinds of righteousness, two ways to righteousness, right? Originally, people would think that the way you can be right, the way you can be good, is by following all of the laws, by obeying all of the commandments. But in Romans 3, we find out that there is a righteousness that has now been manifested apart from the law. Right? There's a righteousness that is available apart from the law. Righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. That we can have righteousness as we trust in Jesus Christ alone. That though you may have sinned, though your text message history and your internet search history may say something about your wickedness and your righteousness, that your faith in the Lord says that you are righteous before Him. And because we are righteous in Christ, then we can, with confidence, claim these promises that God will hear us and deliver us in the midst of our afflictions. Right, the good news here is that even though we are wicked and evil in our sin, that Jesus takes the punishment that was meant for wicked people. Right, he is the one who is forsaken as one who does evil. He is the one who gets slain by affliction as if he was wicked. He is the one who is condemned as if he hated the righteous, so that we could have the promises here in this psalm that are for the righteous. And as we root our righteousness in Jesus, we can be confident that God will hear us and deliver us. And here, we can be confident that God is not just a rescuer, but that He is your rescuer. That in the midst of the troubles, afflictions, difficulties, stresses that you face, that God is not just a rescuer, but He's your rescuer. And for those of us who our righteousness is rooted in Christ alone, He is our rescuer. And He is the one who will hear and deliver us. So that no matter what fears or troubles or enemies or afflictions come our way, we can rest assured that He will save us from them. Right? This is why, no matter what season you're going through, you can rest. Because you know that there is a rescuer who can and will deliver you. Right? He may not deliver you in the time that you want, in the way that you want, but He will deliver you in goodness, in His wisdom, and in His power. And it's so good that David says, everyone should come and experience this. Right? That's why he says, come, taste and see that the Lord is good. He says, I have experienced God's deliverance and God's goodness in my own life. And this is something that we, all of us, need. All of us, we need it. And that's why the one thing for today is to rest in our rescuer. To rest in our rescuer. You know, can I ask, you know, what might be causing you to be anxious in this season? What is it that might be causing you to feel doubtful or to feel unsure? What is it that has been overwhelming you? And what would it look like for you to trust that in the midst of whatever you're facing, that there is a rescuer who promises to hear you, promises to deliver you when you turn and cry out to him? How encouraging is it to know that the rescuer that we depend on is wiser than we are? Right? Think about it. If our own wisdom, or for some of us, our own lack of wisdom, got us into these situations in the first place, how comforting is it to know that there is a God who is much, much more wise than you are? And that he is the one who's going to rescue you. He's not going to rescue you according to your elementary understanding of what needs to happen. Right? He is one who sees the whole thing, who knows all that's happening, and says, this is going to be the best way, the best time to rescue this person. And even while rescue may not be the way that you want and the time that you want, the whole time you are in affliction, I will be with you. I will hear you. I will see you. I will be close to you. Right? That's what the psalm says. He will be close to the brokenhearted. That even in the midst of those afflictions, we are not alone. Nor is God far from us. But he encourages us to say that he will be with us and close to us. How can we respond? First, we are challenged to make a decision to regularly seek him. You know, if we're honest, and if I'm honest, right? We often seek out our favorite shows, our favorite blogs, our favorite YouTubers, before we seek the Lord. Right? For many of us, even if we know this truth, it's hard to actually seek the Lord, actually cry out to him. Some of us really, in the stubbornness of our hearts, we have to wait until the rock bottom, until we face rock bottom to cry out to him. Some of us, that is our self-sufficiency. That until we know, we've tried and exhausted every single route, and finally we recognize, you know what? I can't do this, God. I need you. And for some of us, perhaps that is what God is doing in your life. Out of love for you, he's letting you get to rock bottom so that you crawl out of it, or crawl and turn to him and say, Lord, I need you now. But here, we're encouraged. We don't have to wait until that happens. You don't have to wait until rock bottom. Right? Here this morning, we can be encouraged that, you know what? I don't want to wait until I hit rock bottom to seek the Lord. But let me be someone who regularly seeks the Lord and depends on him. And daily to say, God, whatever I'm facing today, I need you. I genuinely need you. What would it look like for us to be the kind of people who our regular habit is to be people who seek the Lord? As much as you know that regular habit for me, like I pull out my phone and before my brain even knows what's going on, I'm on YouTube. Like before I even think about it, I've already typed Instagram. You know what I'm saying? Like before, it's just so hardwired. What would it look like for us to be people who are hardwired, who we've trained ourselves and we respond by seeking the Lord? It matters big and it matters small. Let's make a decision to make it a regular part of our lives to seek him in his word and to seek him in prayer. Second thing we can do is to praise God for how he's already worked in your life. I think for many of us, we have that problem where we don't have the hearing of an elephant, but we have the memory of a goldfish. Right? We forget, like God just delivered you last week. Like last week, you were on your knees asking for help. You felt the indescribable peace of God, and God just did something in your situation that you couldn't even imagine. And this week you feel overwhelmed because you were just a little bit late for work. I don't know, you know what I'm saying? Like, for us, it's so easy to forget. God has been working in our lives. Right? This is not like you are in the first episode of the new K-drama you started. You are at like episode 8,095. And for every single episode, God has helped and worked and delivered you in different ways. And we forget about that. Right? Or maybe it's more like how when you wait so long. So this sometimes it happens, right? You wait so long for the next season of your show that by the next season you forget what happened in season 1 and 2. Right? So you gotta go back and revisit it. What happened in season 1 and 2? Right? Same way, what happened in your life that you can give God praise for? So that as you enter into season 3, you have confidence. Because the God who worked in your life in season 1 and season 2 is the God who's still working in season 3. Right? That's what David is doing. This whole psalm is praising the Lord. Why? Because he was in a situation of difficulty and God worked in his life. And so for us, praise God for how he's already worked in our lives. For many of us, we have testimonies about how God's worked in our job search, how God's worked in our families, how God's worked in our friends, how God's worked in our self-esteem, and how God's worked in our health, and how God's worked in our finances, how God has helped us time and time again. Oftentimes when we didn't even ask, God is that generous. And especially for those who are in the Lord, we have this hope and we have this thanks to say, God, I used to live my whole life and I didn't know where I was going. I didn't know what was going to happen to me. And now here I am and I can be assured that for the rest of eternity, I'm good because I'm with you. Right? We have been saved out of the wretchedness of our despair and confusion. And so even if you can't remember any other testimony, your salvation testimony, is that not a reason for us to praise at all times? And lastly, we can invite someone, else to taste the goodness of God. You know, many of us, I think, we're actually pretty good at giving recommendations. Right? Some of us, it might be like food recommendations, or tech recommendations, or clothing recommendations. Like many of us, we got a good eye for these things and we want people to experience the goodness that we experience. Right? Some of us, I know in the corner of your mind, you want to be an influencer because you want other people to be influenced by you and taste the goodness of the things that you know about. But here, the challenge is not for these other things that we want people to taste and experience, but it invites us to be people who invite others to taste the goodness of God. And I know that can feel weird sometimes. Right? It's easier to recommend your favorite brand of clothing or your favorite new TV show or your favorite tech device than it is to recommend a completely different way of living. But I think that's not what he's saying here. Taste and see. Just taste it. Just taste it. Right? What would it look like if for the people around us we had a desire, just man, what if they could just get a taste and a glimpse of the goodness of God in their life. I mean, some of us here, I know you are very empathetic. I know you care about people. And I know that you could see all these areas in their lives where people have this deficit. You can see the areas where there's need. And I know you know how transformative it could be if they just experienced a drop of God's goodness in their life. And here, it invites us to invite others to do that. Whether it's people you know, and you've invited them many times, but you just need faith to invite them once more. Or maybe it's people you don't know very well. Or maybe people you do know, but it will be the first time you invite them to taste and see that the Lord is good. Right? May we be people who don't hoard these things to ourselves. Right? Let's not be the kind of people who hoard the best food, the best deals, the best whatever to ourselves. But let's be people who are generous and say, hey, this is great. God has worked in my life. I praise him for it. And I want you to experience a little bit of that. And it may sound weird in our current cultural climate, right? In our current social context, the idea of a God who is wiser than you, more just than you, powerful, but delays deliverance, it sounds crazy. But the reality is that we know that it's true. If it's true, and if this life-changing reality is there for us, what would it look like for us to invite others to experience that as well? To say that we're not going to be ruled by fear. We're not going to be ruled by fear. We're not going to be ruled by our reputation, right? But we are going to be people who are motivated and driven by the goodness and the love of God. And say, you got to try this. You got to experience this in your life. So those are the ways that we can respond to the Lord. To make a decision to regularly seek Him. To praise God for He's already worked. And to invite someone else to taste the goodness of God. I want to invite us to stand as we close out in this time together. And I don't know. I don't know what situation you might have been. Maybe this summer has been very difficult. And you are in need of some rest. Maybe already you are in that situation where you feel like you're being pressed in from all sides. Or for some of us, maybe you're here today and you're not feeling that squeeze yet. But I want to encourage us as we're here that the Lord is available. The Lord is available and the Lord is patient. But that the Lord really desires for you to root your righteousness in Christ and to seek Him and to find rest in Him, that He will be your rescuer and your deliverer. And whether you need to know that now and remember it now, or whether you just need it for a future situation, that's where we can find our rest, knowing that whatever we go through, there is a rescuer who is there for us. As we close out this time and head into response, I want to give us a moment. I want to give us a moment to turn to the Lord, and just even for yourself, a step of faith, and a moment being honest with God. Let's come to Him. Let's ask Him to help us in our lives. And this requires humility, right? It requires humility to say, actually, God, I really do need help. I don't have a handle on everything the way that I would like to. I don't know how to do everything the way that I want to. And even the things that I do know, I can't do it. God, I need your help. And with that posture of humility, let's come before the Lord. Let's seek Him and trust and believe that He is able, He is willing, and that He will rescue us ultimately in our lives. So let's do that for the next couple of minutes as we head into this time of response today.